Arzei Halbanon in Chabala speaks about the Asara Haruge Malchus. These are the 10 greatest Tanoim of Torah, among them Rebbe Akiva and that group. And they were all killed in a terrible way by the Romans. I just want to bring out, I would like to bring out 2 points. One point, when all the way back, when Yosef finally reveals himself to his brothers, and it's a very emotional scene, and finally Yosef sees Binyamin for the first time, and it says that they cry on each other's shoulders. And Rashi brings down, what are they crying about? And Yosef was crying for the Beis HaMikdash that would be destroyed in Binyamin's Chelek. And Chazal asks, the question he was asked is, okay, it's, but why cry about that now? You just met. You all just have gotten together. Why now? Why are you crying then? And Chazal say that Yosef, after he was sold by his brothers, it was a terrible period among the brothers. There was mistrust and there was hatred and bad feelings and ill will. And what Yosef did is Yosef used his position as viceroy to orchestrate events that would bring to a point where they could have, that they all can get together. He made a situation where Yehuda would have to plead for the son of the son of Rachel, and all the brothers there would be ready to fight, take on the entire Mitzrayim for this. And this was very, very soothing, and it was good. It was what necessary would have to be heard. Yosef had to hear this. The brothers had to hear this. Binyamin had to hear this. Yehuda had to do this. And it says that finally Yehuda's talking and talking. Yosef couldn't hold back anymore, and he revealed himself. But Yosef must have realized, that still in all, there was still some dako, some little amount of period of sinna that was still there. And that's why he cried. That's why he was crying at that moment. He realized that this sinner, which is inside them, will manifest itself at some point. And it did. It manifests itself with the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. After that time, it was one of the Roman emperors, he was told about this incident, and he asked, he said, what was done to the brothers, that what happens if somebody kidnaps a person and he sells them? There was a penalty of death. And the emperor said, I am going to take upon myself to avenge, to punish this act. And that's what led to the Asara Haruge Malchus. And at you could also ask along this, why was it at this time? Actually, this really, most of the Asara Haruge Malchus really happened after the debacle of Beitar, which is the Bar Kokhba rebellion, which was some 70 years after the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. That's when the Asara Haruge Malchus happened. And why did it happen then? Why was the Roman emperor into killing the greatest of the Gedolim, the greatest of the Gedolim in Torah among the Jewish people? And you could say, you know, the Romans at the time, when Bar Kokhba happened, the Romans they just couldn't believe it. Because 70 years earlier, when they destroyed the Beis HaMikdash, they practically destroyed Klal Yisrael. After the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, there was nothing left. There was no Beis HaMikdash. There was no central place for Klal Yisrael. There was no government. There was no kings anymore. There was no independence. Independence was gone. There was no army. And that's it. There was pretty much nothing left to the Jewish people. And yet, 70 years later, the Jews mounted a rebellion against Rome, the likes that Rome had never, ever seen. This was a threat that was just over and above. Just to get an idea of what that threat of Bar Kokhba was, when they destroyed the Beis HaMikdash, they came with four legions, about 40,000 to 60,000 soldiers. When they came against Bar Kokhba, they came with them with 10 legions, which is, they actually pulled in about half of the entire Roman army against Bar Kokhba. They pulled in their best general who was in Europe at the time. And even on paper, it wasn't so clear that Rome would win. And of course, it was a terrible debacle, and it was just a terrible destruction. And the Romans also took a big hit. It wasn't just, it was just a one-sided win. But afterwards, the Romans started to think to themselves, and they said, how is it possible that 70 short years later, the people that was reduced to nothing, there was absolutely nothing left to them, they could mount such a threat, such a rebellion against Rome? And they figured it out. They figured it out. Sometimes our enemies know us better than ourselves. You see, within that destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, there was an incident that the Gemara in Gittin brings down, and Reb Yochanan ben Zakkai, he was able to slip out of Yerushalayim, and he made his way to Vespasian, and he made a request. And at the time, the Romans there, they heard his request, and they were probably laughing at themselves. Reb Yochanan ben Zakkai addressed Vespasian as Shalom Alecha Malka, you are the Shalom Aleichem king, of which Vespasian wasn't king yet, and he told Reb Yochanan ben Zakkai, you are Chayav Nisa for calling me a king when I'm not. And Reb Yochanan ben Zakkai gave him the good news. He says the Beis HaMikdash would only fall by the hands of a king, and you will become king. And as Hashem works it out, as they're talking, a messenger came from Rome and told Vespasian that he was appointed by the Senate, he was appointed to be the new emperor. The custom in those days were, if you were to bring good news, you were rewarded. And he went to Reb Yochanan ben Zakkai and he said, what do you want? And Reb Yochanan ben Zakkai asked for something so seemingly trivial that they were laughing. They said, okay, he could have become the richest person in the world. Reb Yochanan ben Zakkai himself felt he couldn't ask for the Beis HaMikdash, it would be too much. He asked for the line that the Nasi should not be destroyed. Okay, that makes sense. A healing for a tzaddik. Okay, that's also somewhat, at least in their minds, is minor. In the mind of Reb Yochanan ben Zakkai, it was a schus, a tzaddik, who was a big tzaddik. His schus could help the Jewish people. Also, it was a hint. You know, when he said Reb Tzaddik, he says, well, Reb Tzaddik is sick because he's fasting that the Beis HaMikdash should not be destroyed. Hint, hint. But then the third, what did he ask for? Give me a little city protected by the Romans, and I want a little bit of the yeshiva there. And at the time, the Romans thought, nothing else. He blew his chance. What did he ask for? But in reality, Reb Yochanan ben Zakkai, he really duped the Romans. He got them. because he realized, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai realized that the only koach that Klal Yisrael has is through Torah. That's where the strength is, and anything else, that's nothing. And with that little yeshiva, that gave the strength to Klal Yisrael, and it gave the energy, the everything that Klal Yisrael had, that 70 years later, they'd be able to go ahead and put up such a rebellion against the Romans. And the Romans realized this, they figured it out. They only figured it out 70 years later when they saw the co-op of what Torah learning is. And they said, that's it, we're going after the Torah leaders. They said, you can't learn in public. Rabbi Akiva was killed for learning in public. Rabbi Yehuda ben Baba, they also said, Romans said, no more smicha. This is when they ended the smicha for Moshe Rabbeinu. And they said, anybody that gives smicha, not only will we kill them and the ones giving the smicha and the ones getting the smicha, but any town, any city that the smicha is given in, we will level the entire city. So Rabbi Yehuda ben Baba, who was one of the Serugim Malchus, he put himself in between two cities, and he was going to give smicha to five of the next generation. And somebody ratted, somebody told on the Romans, and they came, and says Rabbi Yehuda ben Baba told the five Talmidim to run while he stood in the pass blocking the Romans. And this is what the Romans were. They realized at this point that their fight against the Jewish people, their fight against Hashem, was also the fight against Torah. And so I guess when we read this, many things come to mind. But one thing is that Koach of Torah, that's what Klal Yisrael is. It's nothing else. It's the Torah. And that's why they were so against, and that's why they killed. They were going after the greatest Gedolim of Torah. Also, this was also was a punishment for Klal Yisrael for the lack of because of Sinas Chinam, the lack of Ahava among ourselves.